I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Desert Isolation Discs. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Alex Lawson. I've got a fantastic guest for you today. Really excited to play her favourite tunes. She's a South African, but she's an East Londoner these days. It's Ruth Barnes. She's worked in pretty much every prestigious media outlet you can think of, from Six Music to The Guardian, to The World Service and The Economist. She's produced loads of great documentaries. She's produced a couple for Radio 4, which are so good. And she's even been described by my paper, The Independent, and rightly so, as a pop pioneer who knows what women want. Her show on Amazing Radio has uncovered and celebrated some of the best female artists that are out there. And through that, and working on various initiatives, including the Sound Women podcast, she's helped further the cause of women making their way in the radio industry. She's really a person to admire. Anyway, I'll stop rabbiting on, as it's Ruth you want to hear from. Thanks for joining me. I'm genuinely keen to interview listeners to the show and even for you to interview each other. So do contact me. My Twitter handle is at Mr. Alex Lawson, or head over to the Desert Isolation Discs blog and do subscribe to the podcast. It does really help. And thanks for listening.
Ruth, it's absolutely fantastic to invite you onto the podcast and to be able to host you. We're sitting in a pub in Clapton, which is a fantastic place to record. And Roisin is joining us as well, a special guest.
Yeah, special guest is the seven-month-old baby. Mm-hmm. And as a new mother, I spend all my time in this pub. So, you know, welcome to my second home, basically.
Pleasure. Thank you for the invite. And we were just talking about what you played to Roisin. What's her favourite at the moment?
Well, she's listening a lot to Julia Holter's new album, mm-hmm. which is great. But I'm going through a phase of playing her a classic album a day because I think it's important to give her, you know, an excellent grounding in music. So she's had a lot of Queen, like John. A lot of Bowie, went through a big Bowie mm-hmm. phase.
Naturally.
She freaked out. Well, I had this onesie that was covered in triangles, and I was like, that is a Bowie onesie if I ever saw one. So I had to kind of soundtrack it, you know, find the soundtrack per onesie. But yeah, she's good. So hopefully she will shut up because I've jammed a massive rice cake in her. So yeah, she won't be too vocal.
I love that. I don't know what kind of, she'll probably turn out either a teenager who's obsessed with music or completely rebelling and, you know. Yeah. Just like pop or something.
Absolutely. She'll be a massive One Direction fan.
So how does her taste compare to yours then, Ruth? What's the first track you've got for us today?
I'm going to be playing you Judy Sill, The Donor. And Judy Sill is someone I'm playing you because she was a bit of a breakthrough for me in terms of my radio career, really. She's someone I discovered in Rough Trade about 10 years ago by just, it was one of those CDs that had a sticker on it saying, if you like Joni Mitchell, if you like, you know, the California set, you'll love this. And I thought, I've never heard of this woman. Who is she? She looked mad on the cover. She looked crazy, kind of really gothic and a bit weird. And I fell in love with her straight away. And I made my first Radio 4 documentary about her. And I am obsessed with her. She's amazing. And I think this track, if people are Judy Sill fans, they will know Jesus Was a Crossmaker, which is beautiful, and just this fantastic big gospel tune. But actually, this tune, The Donor, I think really reflects her music in the purest form. She always said that she had Baroque influences and all sorts, and the sort of chamber choir element of it, the orchestral element of it, and she did all her own you know, scores and all those kind of things. So yeah, and just an extraordinary woman and with a very sad life.
Yeah,
absolutely. Lots of drugs, early death, and kind of forgotten, really.
I mean, do you think that adds to the mystique?
Absolutely. Her story was just something that I was bowled over by. So if you're interested in the story, you can look up Judy Sill's documentary on the Radio 4 website and you can listen to it. But it is amazing. She is an extraordinary character.
How do you approach doing a documentary about someone like that who you feel very sort of personally passionate about?
Well, I was very lucky in that we made a very personal programme, which is good. They wanted it to be sort of like my journey and my discovery of her, because she was so, still remains really unknown. I mean, she gets the odd specialist play on like Gideon Coe's show on Six Music, you know, maybe Mark Riley, but she's just one of those kind of great lost geniuses, and I think it really taps into my kind of bugbear about women getting written out of kind of rock history and music history, and she's someone who should have been really up there, you know. And actually lots of geniuses cite her as an influence, you know, they love her. I think that's really important. So yeah, it was just this kind of wonderful journey. We sort of we unraveled her story, which was this crazy story of prostitution and drugs and addiction and religion and, you know, kind of obsession and a brush with fame that ended in disaster and ultimately, well, some people think she committed suicide, other people think she didn't. So, you know, it was an overdose, whatever you want to take from it, but she died young and, tragic. So, but she left behind some extraordinary music.
Well, and this track and documentary were well worth a listen, so...
Absolutely, thanks, Alex.
A little bit about your career. Varied. I mean, you've done obviously your radio show on Amazing Radio. You've had lots of voiceover work. You've done documentaries, and you've done lots of work for The Guardian, The Economist. You know, such a broad spectrum of things. I mean, for those sort of starting out in the radio industry, it's quite a lot to admire in what you've done.
Oh, thank you, Alex.
Well, definitely.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've kind of covered it, really. I suppose. I spent many years as a reporter for the BBC, so I was an arts reporter for BBC Radio, which meant I got to interview a lot of different people, which gives you the best experience ever, you know, interviewing people from, like, Alice Cooper to, you know, what was that crap, really moody Scottish indie band, Las Vegas. You know, that was kind of the spectrum, Alex, there you go.
Were you thrown onto these kind of things? Did you have time to... No research.
A lot of the time I couldn't be bothered to research, because when you've been doing it for that long, Alex, you literally just like run a very lazy eye down a Wikipedia page and then go, so guys, how's the tour? It's basically what's going on at that moment. They tell you really shit boring stories about their tour and it's all really hilarious and lols, and you're just there like sneezing as your arm goes dead holding the microphone. But
I mean, who were the people who really made an impression to you, you know?
Weirdly, like, it's funny, in my years doing that sort of thing, the biggest names were the nicest people, you know? Like, I had to interview Britt Eklund once the Edinburgh Film Festival for Radio 2, and she was just amazing. I mean, I needed, like, a soundbite. Obviously, I didn't go into the interview going, like, listen, Britt, just need 30 seconds. But we ended up talking for about 20 minutes, and she was just so sweet and open and professional and great. And Alice Cooper, I mentioned, another one who just was so happy to talk about his, you know, leaving booze behind for golf, you know, that kind of thing, and his revelation.
I hope you interviewed him on a golf course.
I wish, if only. Yeah, you're right, that should have been in situ, but putting together. But so I think years of doing that was a lot of fun. Then the BBC cuts came along, and unfortunately, I'd been freelancing at mainly Six Music and Radio 2 for a long time, and they basically said, sorry, we're, you know, no more money, thanks for everything. See you later. So then things just got really varied, like you mentioned, voiceover stuff, doing my own projects with The Other Woman, my radio show, which is an all-female new music playlist, Radio 4 documentaries, which I'm really enjoying. But I'm keen to get back to speech radio, because I actually used to do a lot of speech radio in my early days. I did an overnight show on BBC London for many years, talking crap to all the crazies who used to ring us up.
And
so yeah, I'm looking to do more kind of discussion stuff, so there's a few things in the pipeline, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
And this is probably not a very fair question to ask you when you're being interviewed, but what do you think are the characteristics of your voice that mean that you're good at this kind of thing? Do you think there's other things that you try and do with it, or are you conscious of, I mean, are you more the sort of chirpy Alan Partridge end of the scale, or are you a lackadaisical Keris Matthews?
Definitely more relaxed. It's weird, you know, because it's cheesy, people always go, you know, just be yourself when you're on the radio, but I think that's kind of bullshit. No one's themselves, you know, everyone has their personality, and that's the good people switch that on, I think. So you figure out who you are, and then you press go, and you can just switch that personality on, and it's very much part of you, but it's also, you know, something that's easy to slip on.
Yes.
So if you're in a shit mood, you can just be like, hey, I'm here again, hi everybody, you know what I mean? It's not
that.
You're not reflecting
you can hide
how
in
you
that.
Feel. And I think a lot of the pros do that, you know, the Keris Matthews, the Gideon Coes, people I really admire.
Yeah.
They do that, you know. And I used to work on their shows as a gimp many years ago, printing out text messages and making tea and stuff. And I saw them at work, and they would do that, you know. Someone like Gideon would arrive in a foul mood, and then the mic would go up, and he would do the most charming, wonderful opening to his show that was really wry and just that little bit warm and humorous, and then play a fantastic song, and I'd just be there going, damn, you're so good.
So what's your next piece of music?
Right, so we're going to hear Cat Stevens, Father and Son. Because I grew up in South Africa. I spent many years there as a teenager, and my mother was a massive Cat Stevens fan, so it was always on the record player, and she passed away out there, so I have very, very emotional and fond memories of listening to Cat Stevens, and I just think he's genius. This song in particular, Father and Son, is just beautiful, and my dad would always say that, you know, this is how what he would say to me as his daughter. My dad and I are very close.
Yes.
He's kind of like my best mate. So, very emotional track, which I thought I'd go for next. But also just what a voice, you know, what a songwriter. Just pure, classic, beautiful songwriting at its best, you know. And, the lyrics just get me every time.
It's not time to make a change. Just sit down. Take it slowly, you're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. All the times that I've cried, keeping all the things I knew inside. It's hard, but it's harder to ignore it. If they were right, I'd agree, but it's them they know, not me. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go.
That was the wonderful Cat Stevens. So, can you tell me, so you were saying you grew up in South Africa and then you came to the UK. How did the two compare?
Jeez, I mean, everyone always mentions the weather, and that's a big part of it, going from like beautiful sunshine to this crap. But, you know, I was there in the 90s, which was an incredible time to be in South Africa, a lot of political change and a very positive time to be there. But all I wanted was, I was just obsessed with like Damon Albarn and Supergrass, and I just wanted to be in London. So I had to fulfil my dream of coming to London, which I did, and my family eventually moved back to the UK anyway. I've just been in London for the last 15 years and I love it. It's where it's at, right? I mean, anyone who's listening, if you are listening and you grew up anywhere else in the world, you will know what I mean when I say London is where it's at in terms of culture and just the action.
Yes.
And also I love that London is so, you can be anonymous in London. You know, in somewhere like Cape Town where I was living, you literally were 2 degrees away from someone you knew. There was just no privacy.
Were people in bands there? I mean, you were obsessed with bands.
Yeah, but they were all crap. No, that's awful. They weren't crap. They were just kind of that typical sort of like very sort of rocky, you know, with a couple of brass instruments thrown in. You know, and I was listening to like The Great Escape and stuff and just going like, this is amazing. This is what I want, you know, or like, Yeah, when I moved to London, the first band I went to go and see were the Strokes, and just blew my mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, yeah, it's just a whole other level of culture and stuff. But I still have very dear friends there, and I do visit, and I love it. And I will take Roisin there very soon. So, yeah, it still holds a very special place in my heart. But London's awesome. And I've been, you know, I met my husband in London, I got married in London, I've now had a baby in London. So it feels very much like home.
So you live here in East London. What's it like? We were just talking about bringing up a baby in East London. Is that a good experience? I mean, presumably,
yeah,
it's hard to compare.
It's good. You're never far away from someone else with a baby. So you can hear in the background, there's another baby in this pub.
Yeah.
If you weren't here, Alex, I'd probably be over there going, hiya, what's going on? What's yours? Yeah, cool, right.
Yeah.
And I love that. That feels like, you know, I guess in the old days, your family was your community, and we don't have that. So your community are the people you meet. And I've met some great people. And we hang out and drink Guinness on a Tuesday in the afternoon whilst
Can't
looking
complain.
After small children. Nobody knows. So yes, it's going very well. Thank you for asking.
Fantastic. So what's your next piece of music? What do you want to say, Roisin?
Nina Nastasia, You Can Take Your Time, which is, she was the first ever post on the Other Woman blog. Because I think Nina is just one of the most extraordinary songwriters of our generation. She's American, if you don't know her. She lives in New York. She writes the most incredible music. She's someone who people are like mad fans of, but she's never broken through, really, you know. And yet her music sometimes turns up on like Nissan ads, you know, and you just think, yay, Nina's made some money, woo. Yeah,
which is a nice attitude, actually, because a lot of fans will tell you you've sold out them, but actually it's
great.
You know, look, you can support yourself, make more money.
Amazing, yeah.
And I think people perhaps they understand more that it's not easy to be an artist in 2015 and make any money. So if you can carry on making it rather than taking a job in something you hate, then
exactly,
so be it. You know?
Exactly. And she just is someone who trucks along and just puts out the most extraordinary music. And I had the good fortune of having her in session on my show when it used to be on Resonance FM on Great London Community Arts Station. And she came on and played some acoustic songs, and it was just so beautiful. And this is one of my favourites, You Can Take Your Time. It's just stunning. It makes me want to cry every time I can hear it. It sounds so sad and heartfelt, and yet there's a bit of a kind of positive note in there somewhere, I think, unless I'm reading it all wrong.
Oh, well, we need to be careful, otherwise you'll be in tears all the way through this.
I know, this is very emotional, Alex. Right, so yes, Nina, someone who, if you haven't heard, just go and listen to Dog's Life on Spotify. It's wonderful.
Look around, you got a good thing. You don't ever have to make the money. You got a little room to spread out, and a table for some company. You can take your time to work things out. It'll be alright. Just don't give up.
So Ruth, you mentioned The Other Woman. You've also contributed to the Sound Women podcast. How do you think women are sort of progressing in radio, or do you think that the causes that you're hoping to improve are improving, or, you know?
Good question, Alex. I think they are improving, slowly but surely. I think even just the fact that Sound Women's creating awareness of the fact that there is a problem.
Yeah.
And there has always been a problem. Mainstream radio doesn't like women on air for some reason. It's kind of interesting.
Which is astonishing, isn't it? You actually did some research, didn't you?
That's right. Sound Women did a load of research. Mm. And the facts and figures are crazy. Like 1 in 5 voices on the radio are a solo woman.
Mm.
And you'll never find 2 women hosting a show together.
Yeah.
I think there's 1 on 5 live, actually. They've actually done that. So well done, 5 live. But, you know, then you've got stations like Radio X launching, and their PR line was like, this is for men.
Yeah, because that's
Moyles
really what the market
say,
needs.
Like, yeah, exactly. And Chris Moyles was like, really? Oh, shit. You could just imagine when that PR press release went out, he probably thought, really, guys? Oh, come on.
Mm.
Talk about alienating a whole potential audience.
Absolutely.
So I think it just... The industry's weird, isn't it? It is weird. I think things are... There are a lot of great female presenters out there at the moment, which is great, in news and in music. But I feel like once a station has found their one, then they go, okay, we've done our bit. So, you know, the one northern woman... Or, you know, on daytime six music is Lauren Laverne, so that's that ticked, you know?
Yeah.
And then that's it. And I guess, you know, you've got Marianne Hobbs on the weekend doing the breakfast show, but, you know, there's plenty of guys from the north all over the six music schedule.
There are.
You know, as much as, you know, people love them, that's great, but it's just about... It's just about thinking a bit more outside the box, you know. There's a lot of box ticking when it comes to women on the radio, and it's not even just women, it's colour, it's class, it's everything, you know. Radio is still very white, and it's still very male, and it's still very straight, you know. And that does my head in. So the one corner I can fight is for women, but there are other people who need to, who are fighting other corners, you know, ethnic diversity, LGBTQ, etc. So there's a lot of work to be done,
yes.
But it does feel like people are at least more aware and people are talking about it. Mm. So that's good.
And so do you think that if you can affect some change in radio, that is sort of progressing feminism as a whole? You know, that's the area that you can affect. So it's...
Yeah, it's my little thing. But I guess as a feminist and someone who's kind of grown into my role as a feminist with The Other Woman, because when I started The Other Woman, I just thought it was kind of quite a nice hook for a show, just to have an all-female playlist. But that was 10 years ago. And in those 10 years, I've seen how important the show has been for artists. How much they love it, and you know, they appreciate my support, and that's made me think, oh, actually there is a bit of a problem here, there's a bit of an issue, okay. You know, and I was also a bit fed up of the playlists I was listening to, and I was at the time working at places like Radio 1 and places like that, and so I was a bit like, come on, same kind of voice I was hearing over and over again, and I wanted to hear I knew there was a greater selection and a broader, you know, breadth of voice that I wanted to hear. So, yeah, I guess I'm doing my little thing. But, I mean, I suppose I'm now someone who's called on to talk about women in music a lot, which I'm very happy to do, and talk about just the wider issue of being a female artist in the industry, because I've spent the last 10 years talking to them. And I think that is getting kind of better, in that there are more women being more outspoken about what it's like to be a female artist in the industry. But whether the industry is listening and kind of taking note is another thing. I don't know. I think certain bits of it are. The independent sector certainly has and is great, but I think, you know, there's still work to be done.
Still a way to go. So what's the next song that you've got?
So next is Sharon Van Etten, who's a fantastic artist from Brooklyn. Don't play with the tinfoil. That's not good for radio. Who's a great...
There's an experienced professional.
There you go. She is someone who's from New Jersey, and she is a superb artist. She kind of plays moody, wonderful guitar rock, as you're going to hear. I'm a big fan of the first kind of mainstream release she had, which was called Epic, which she released on a little indie called Bada Bing Records, which I love because it's really gangster. Bada Bing, you know, it just sounds really hilarious. But she's now signed to Secretly Canadian, and she's doing brilliantly, so we're very happy for her. But this song is one of my favourites of hers, and she was another early interviewee on The Other Woman, and she's just a lovely person as well. And this is called Love More.
Do what she said, the words she said, left out over into the sky where I'll soon fly. And she took the time to believe in, to believe in what she said. She made me love, she made me love, she made me love.
Saying that you were thinking about working perhaps potentially more in speech radio, what do you like about that as a medium?
I just think it's really powerful, isn't it? It's a very honest medium, audio, podcasting, and radio, in that, you know, people are far more honest when there isn't a camera in their face, I think. Yeah, and it's free. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do, you know, communicate with people on that level. So I'm hoping to do more kind of discussion-based stuff around the issues that are important to me, you know, music, women, chicks and music, and food, maybe cycling, we'll see, maybe babies, who knows. I think it's a privilege to be able to do that, you know, it's a special thing because on, like I said, it's very different from TV.
How has the industry changed in the time that you've worked in it? Obviously, the technology has changed hugely.
Yes, the technology's changed. I think podcasting is definitely becoming becoming like a problem for radio, I think.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, Alex, you guys. Just because, in a good way, I think that radio needs to up its game. I think there are a lot of great podcasts out there, especially coming from America. And I know that in America, you can actually make money as a podcaster, bizarrely. And it's just a matter of time, hopefully, before that translates over here. And I think there's so much creative freedom, and radio needs to up its game. I think there's been a real fear in radio over the last 10 years of moving away from anything specialist, moving away from anything too niche. And that's where podcasts have picked up slack, and they've done some really great things.
Yes.
One of my favorite podcasts is called Project Moonbase, and you know, it's two totally geeky guys like playing fantastic old, you know, spaced out records, and it's great. And you know, in years gone by, you would probably have thought, well, they should be on Six Music or somewhere, but they're too niche, you know, they're too specialist. So I think it's exciting that there's a kind of new format out there which is giving people a chance to challenge the status quo. You know, it's giving people a chance when they get their pitch turned down by the BBC, they can go, well, screw you, I'm going to do it myself.
And can you give us an insight on the other side of what you do, the voiceover stuff? You know, it's always an industry that fascinates people. What's it like to actually do it?
It's kind of ridiculous. If anyone wants to know, you should watch Toast on Channel 4 with Matt Berry.
Yes.
There's always a sketch about him doing voiceovers at the beginning, and it's really true. There's always some stupid young producer at some studio in Soho, like, patronising you. But no, I do a lot of different voiceover stuff. And it's good.
What do they say? Just, you know, can you give us more of that? Or what is it?
Well, usually they book you for way too long, and then you do the voiceover in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But they've booked you for an hour and a half, so they just make you do it again and again and again. And they use the first take every time. But, you know, you're just a puppet, so you just do what they want, and it's fine every time. But no, I do enjoy it because I never thought I'd do it. And it just feels like, I don't know, it's like an art form in itself, you know, but kind of performing with your voice. So I do enjoy it.
So what's your penultimate choice?
That's a good question, Alex. Oh, yes, it's Phoenix, Too Young. I love this band. They're a French band, of course. Massive now, aren't they? Phoenix, they bloody won Grammys and stuff. One of the earliest gigs that my now husband Jason and I went to go and see together was at the Metro when it still existed on Oxford Street. We went to see Phoenix, and we stood in the front row, and they were brilliant and wonderful, and I love this song. It was our first dance at our wedding, Too Young.
Yeah.
All right, Munchkin.
Excellent, let's give it a listen. And for the benefit of the listeners, Roisin is very much interested in the mic, aren't you? That's got a small flashing light, which is probably enough to be entertaining. Hard times come and they won't leave in the night. Ruth, obviously we've cast you out into the desert for this
yes.
list, and we're very generous here on Desert Isolation Disc. We give you the Tiger Who Came to Tea and the complete Red Dwarf box set to entertain
lovely,
you.
Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Would you like to pick another luxury item?
Can it be a lie?
alive. It can't be a baby. No, that's not really a luxury item.
It doesn't feel in the spirit, but it'd be hard to turn her down with her sat right here. It feels impolite. Feels impolite to you, doesn't
it? Okay, so Roshan's my luxury item.
So how do you think you'd actually cope in the desert then?
I'm a very sociable animal, so I wouldn't cope. It would be a nightmare. I'd be very distressed, I think, of not having anyone to talk to. And I'd probably go quietly mad.
So what is your final track? You've been excellent so far.
Thank you. Final track is Outcast, The Way You Move. Because I realised that my playlist was quite sort of downbeat. Mm. So I wanted to bring in something that just is awesome. I mean, what a great tune. Outcast, I think they caused a bit of a sea change when they arrived on the scene, whenever it was, 10 years ago? I don't remember, but yeah, more. They're just brilliant music makers, great producers, and The Way You Move has got to be one of the most perfect pop songs. It was basically going to be something by Outkast or something by Justin Timberlake, who I also right. think has written some incredible dance songs over the years, and I had to put something slightly more dancey in. So that is this, and it's wonderful. And again, it's something that my husband and I, Jason, we party to big time when mm-hmm. it came out, so it's another kind of meaningful one. So yeah, I love it.
The whole room fell silent, the girls all paused with glee. Turning left, turning right, thought they looking at me. But I was looking at them, there on the dance floor. Now they got me in the middle, feeling like a man whore. Especially the big girl, big girls need love too. No discrimination here, squirrel. So keep your hands off my cheeks, let me study how you ride the beat. You big freak, skinny slim women got the camel toe within them. You can hump them, lift them, bend them, give them something to remember. Hell out timber when you fall through the chop shop. Take a deep breath and exhale. Your ex-male friend, boyfriend was boring as hell. But let me listen to the story you tell. And we can make moves like a person in jail. On the low, ho.
I like the way you move. I like the way you move.
So, Ruth, that was Outcast, and that's the end of your Desert Isolation disc, I'm sorry to say. Thank you. You've been a fantastic guest, and Roisin too. I'm sure you'll be able to cope with those songs, and glad to have a party at the end. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Alex. And I've just realised I should have put a Roisin Murphy track on the list, really, because her new album is great. It should have won the Mercury Prize. There you go. I just thought I'd get that in there.
And you were there, weren't you? You didn't protest in the...
I didn't protest, no. You kind of just have to like let the Mercury Prize be what it is, yeah. You know, just
there's no point getting angry about it.
There is no point. Yeah, I mean, I was slightly sozzled, so I did tweet a few angry tweets, and then, you know, as you do, right?
Yeah, of
the
course
minute people stop tweeting angry tweets, angry sozzled tweets about the Mercury Prize, we know it's dead.
The medium is dead. Yeah. That's great, Ruth. You've been a fantastic guest on Desert Isolation Discs. Thank you for joining me. Any resemblance to any other podcasts, alive or dead, is purely coincidental, and thank you for joining us.
On that note,
goodbye.
Thanks for having us, Alex.
Amazing Radio.
You know when you hear a song and you know it's going to stay with you for the rest of your life?
What you got to when I am there? Do it when I am there. The end of your life is there. It's been mine.
We have those moments every single day.
Amazing Radio.
You heard it here first.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.